So we're going to ask good old Mr. Utah Phillips to come on up and tell us a few stories. And in the meantime, I've been trying to convince the lawyers to please come on up here and show their beautiful faces and speak a little, but they're kind of being ornery. I don't know why.
Well, now, if lawyers can't talk, what good are they? So get your lawyers down here and do what you're best at, for heaven's sake.
Stop. So we're going to let you talk through a megaphone for a few minutes, and then hopefully the sound system will come back on again.
I love it when the technology collapses. We're all going to have to get used to it sooner or later. Doesn't bother me. Well, it always was, is, and will continue to be a pleasure to be anywhere. But it's especially here. My response to these places is humor. I can't deal with this shit. I can't. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to be near it. I want to get back on the train and go home is what I want to do. Home is Nevada City, California, up in the foothills of the Sierra. Call them foothills because it's spelled that way. Where we are preparing to begin to practice George Bush's new faith-based energy program. Pray the lights don't go out. I have, in these troubled and hard times, made a pact with myself not to make jokes about George Bush. The man who doesn't know the meaning of the word defeat. That's only one of hundreds of words he doesn't know the meaning of. Where was I? Oh, why don't you work? No, you know this song? Oh, why don't you work like other folks do? How can I get a job when you're holding down two? Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. Hallelujah. This is your new national anthem, by the way. I do not wait for committees to arrive at these conclusions. I do these things unilaterally and give folks a chance to catch up. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. Well, I came down on the railroad train. I have some hard words about that. Came down on the commuter. You know, the equation that governs our lives these days is oil equals war, isn't it? Oil equals war. Well, where does that war begin? Huh? That war begins every time I put the key in the ignition on my car and turn it on. It begins with me. I'm not trying to put anything on. You make it feel guilty. This is up to me, you know. That war has come very, very close to home. So I've got to think about my bicycle. I've got to think about the trains and the buses. Think about Shank's mare and using it more and more. And you arrive at your own conclusion about how you're going to deal with that war coming home to roost with you. What it means is that auto pollution, cars, is not just an ecology issue like oil spills and polluted air. It's a peace issue as well, isn't it? It's just something for you to chew on for a while. Oh, where was I? I like my boss, he's a good friend of mine. That's why I'm starving out on the bread line. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. Oh, I went to a house and I knocked on the door. The lady said, scram bum, you've been here before. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. So here we are, treading the thin line between misfortune and calamity. What is the difference? Well, now, if Mr. Ashcroft was to be walking by the reflecting pool in Washington and accidentally trip and fall in, that would be a misfortune. If anybody was to happen by and pull him out, now that would be a calamity. Oh, whenever I get all the money I earn, hey, the boss will be broke and to work he must turn. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. I have nothing to offer you to assuage the difficulty of the average annual ambient dilapidated appearance of reality in these, the waning days of Babylon. Perhaps a few aphorisms gleaned along the way. Lucy Parsons, do you know that name? Yeah, you do. Lucy Parsons, one of the founders of the Industrial Workers of the World, Judy's Union, 1905, stood up at the founding convention and said, "Never be deceived that the rich will permit you to vote away their wealth." Let that sink in. Yeah, direct action gets the goods. For Oscar Ammerger, old Oscar Ammerger down in Cincinnati, in the 1880s, he said, "Politicians get votes from the poor and money from the rich on the guarantee to protect each from the other." Of course, old Idaho Blackie, that old wobbly up in the panhandle of Idaho, he had a more earthy approach to it. He'd say, "Politicians, most of them so damn crooked they got to screw their socks on in the morning. So damn dumb they couldn't pour piss out of a boot if the instructions was wrote on the heel." It's Blackie. Of course, then there was the great Will Rogers, you know. Will Rogers was sitting in Congress once, and when he got out of the galleries, the reporters approached him and said, what do you think? And he said, "Those of you who love sausage and law would do well not to watch either one being made." He's also the one who said, back in 1924, an empty car pulled up in front of the White House, and Calvin Coolidge got out. Relevant today, I think. "Oh, I went to a house and I asked for some bread. A lady said, 'Scrimbum, the baker's dead.' Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again." Where do they come from, these conservatives? I don't know where they come from. Does anybody know where they... Somewhere. Jesus. The conservative idea of dealing with any social problem is more punishment, huh? More punishment. Bigger prisons. Whereas I understand how the conservative mind would be drawn to penal enlargement. "Oh, I went to a bar and I asked for a drink. He gave me a glass and he showed me the sink. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again." Yeah, and I like Jim Hill. He's a good friend of mine. Hey, that's why I'm booming down Jim Hill's main line. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. I think that the main issue for me in the trial of Judy Berry is around the issue of nonviolence. That's how I met Judy, went over there to discuss nonviolent training for the Redwood Summer. And that's why I was with her in the car the day before it blew up, driving down from Willits to the Seeds of Peace meeting up there in Berkeley. Judy Berry understood nonviolence, nonviolent direct action, as well or better than anybody I ever met. She understood that the man can escalate from a cop on the beat with a handgun all the way up to a hydrogen bomb and everything in between, huh? And he's always saying to you, "Come up that road. Come up that road of armed struggle." And you get so far up, and then you're done for. You're simply killed off. No, you got to take a road that man doesn't own. You have to own a road that he's never been on. You have to take a different road. And say, "Come on up, come on up, come on up." You know, you've got to be willing, if the dogs come, to lie down and get bit. You got to be willing to curl up in a ball, or you get willing to get tear gassed or carried off to jail. Those people with the guns got to be understanding in unconditional terms that you really mean it. That you really mean it when you say nonviolence. That nonviolence is a practical necessity. It is not just a tactic, something you might do now and not do. It's a practical necessity. It is a way of life. And Judy Berry understood that very, very well. I'll sing her a song here. This is Woody's last song that anybody knows about. He wrote it during the Korean War, which was my war. And I added some words and changed some words. I figured that Woody wouldn't mind. "Oh, why do your warships sail on my waters? Why do your death bombs fall from my sky? Why do you burn my town and my farm down? I've got to know, yes, I've got to know why. Why do your ships haul death to my people? Nitro blockbusters, big cannons and guns. Why can't your ship haul some food and some clothing? I've got to know, yes, I've got to know. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know, friend. Oh, hungry lips follow me wherever I go. Comrades and friends all falling around me. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know. What good work did you do? I'd like to ask you to give you the money right out of my hand. I built your big house to hide from my people. Why do you hide so? I've got to know. Why can't we spend more to build homeless shelters? Why are the homeless here anyhow? Fortunes are building on war and on killing. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know now. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know, friend. Hungry lips ask me wherever I go. Comrades and friends all falling around me. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know. You locked me in jail, you put me in prison. Your hospital's jammed and your crazy house full. Why did your cop hurt my unarmed peace worker? I've got to know, yes, I've got to know. And my friends are dying from AIDS and from cancer. Your big money goes where the death missiles fly. I'm built by good workers and paid by war taxes. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know why. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know, friend. Hungry lips ask me wherever I go. Comrades and friends all falling around me. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know. I've got to know. Thanks. Well, thank you. You all understand that. Judy Berry was a member of the Industrial Workers of the World, the IWW, a union I belong to now for about 45 years. She was a Wobbly. She understood, as a Wobbly, that our union's task is not just to organize the unorganized, but to reorganize the misorganized. That's why she reached out to workers. That's why she built bridges between the environmental movement and the forest product workers rather than burning them, something the environmental movement had never thought about much. Judy Berry understood that properly organized, understanding what their own best interest was, that the working forest product workers, the loggers, could stop the destruction themselves. See, she knew that. We still know that. That the people who do the work can stop the work. We've got to keep that movement going. We have to keep that movement going. The vision that I keep in my head, that I try to stay focused on day for day and in every action that I do, is that one day, working patiently, slowly, carefully, the environmental movement, the peace movement, and the labor movement will come together as one.